This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSIN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, and the gang is back together on a football Friday triple option. Once again, Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino. Mike Pritchard, our VSIN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick and a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes. Gentlemen, how are we doing? It's been a while since all three of us have been together. The bye weeks are over, right?
Sorry.
Are we good to go?
When are you? Do you ever leave town?
I know. Hell no.
Do you need a bye week, though?
No bye weeks needed. Okay. Like Belichick and Brady said, no days off. So we're getting after it.
Hey, man, I highly recommend my bye week.
Yes. How was your birthday?
It was fantastic.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations is appropriate. Because 54 was not easy. Getting to 54 was not easy. It's been thrilling. It's been exciting. It's suspenseful at times. But happy to be here at 54. Happy to be with you guys as well. Yeah. So,
well, how was your trip to Wrigleyville?
You know, it's a beautiful setting to watch that game there. And we were on a rooftop across from Wrigley and left field, and a great spot because we could see both end zones. And there's some seats inside the stadium that were worse than what our seats were. You know, and then the game starts and Iowa gets 3 15-yard defensive penalties on Northwestern and can't score. And you're just like, what's happening? You know, when they get to the 35, it goes into park. They're not going to go forward. And so I had bet over 30.5. I'd bet over 31. I'm thankful that the state of Illinois does not allow you to bet on your app on Illinois college teams. You have to do it over the counter, because I would have kept probably betting this game. And then I thought, well, we're going to get lucky because they tied it at 7 with 2 minutes to go. I said, a couple overtimes, a lot of twos. I can still get there. Who knows? I mean, they go 3-3-3-3-2-2-2-2. It gets to 31. Not to be. They complete the long pass and the kid nails it. I was calling for them to please carry Brian Ferentz off on your shoulder and then just dump him somewhere. And don't take him back. I mean, the Iowa fans were something. No, they were all, it was 95%. Every time they ran in, they're like, great call, Brian. I mean,
It's that kind of vibe there? That'll be tough. Hey, only 3 weeks left of the regular season, Hawkeye fans.
And they're going to be in the Big Ten Championship game.
Yeah,
what's the number? 26, 27? Team total 5.5 against Michigan. And I'm just projecting out Michigan could be lower against Ohio
especially
State.
If Michigan has something to prove in that game. They're trying to tell everyone to shove it after what might happen later on today. Yeah. We will be keeping our eyes on the Twitter streets to see if Michigan, any sort of punishment happens in college football. There's reports that Jim Harbaugh will be on the plane one way or another, according to sources. So the College Football National beat writers, of course, very, very busy. So we'll be finding out what happens with that maybe later in the show. Could be later on this afternoon, but we do have a fun show on deck for you guys over these next 2 hours. Joining us in 30 minutes, Chad Brown, former NFL player, now turned analyst for Westwood One. We'll discuss the NFL, maybe talk a little bit of college football, but we'll get his thoughts on the NFL, his midseason takeaways now that we are well underway in week number 10. Then in hour number two at 11:30 West Coast time, 2:30 Pacific, or rather 2:30 Eastern, I should say, Michael Calabrese, college football betting analyst over at the Action Network, will join us to give out his college football card for the weekend. It's not as big a weekend as we saw last week, but still like a really important weekend, as now that we're heading into the month of November here, where the games really start to get important all across the country. But first, let's talk about the thrilling, exciting, captivating Thursday night football game that we saw last night. Chicago Bears beat the Carolina Panthers 16-13. This one was ugly, gentlemen.
Did you guys bet this?
I bet it.
You did.
I bet it. I took the 3.5 of the Carolina Panthers, and I'm glad I won, but I'm a little upset that I actually watched the game.
But that's the only reason why to watch it, right?
Because
you had to bet on it. Yeah,
absolutely. I advocate. I said, hey, if you're going to watch this game, make sure you find either a side total or a prop, something to have on this game, because it's going to be a tough one. But what were your guys' takeaways from the game as the Bears improved 3-7 and now 2-2 under Tyson Bagent?
Well, you know, Young is it's hard to see the upside for me with Young. And even some of his mechanics, when he's able to get outside the pocket, the mechanics are bad too.
Yeah.
I said he looks small from week one. He looks small behind these big offensive lines. I don't know where they go from here. They're a long way off. I'll tell you something. The Bears, with their defense healthy, they are a good run defense. Mm-hmm. Teams aren't going to be able to run the ball, which is a handicapping angle going forward with the team that you might not feel inclined to bet on all the time. But I think that's an angle you could do. I know when we were talking about props yesterday on primetime, I said I would look only at receiving props on the Carolina side because I don't even know how long they're going to try to run the football, which they, what, they run it for 40 yards? I mean, it was nothing.
16 attempts.
Yeah. Then you got to get the kid to complete the passes. But I was interested in this game because I kept asking Jeff Benson and Derek, how many people are going to get like a little jiggy like Femi and use the Bears in Survivor this week? Right? Because you do those zigzag moves and use teams.
Get a little frisky.
A little frisky.
Jiggy,
and
frisky.
I can't say it, obviously, because people still have to put their picks in. Mm-hmm. But it might surprise some people when Jeff and Derek announce it.
Oh, man.
Paulie said five, no more than five. I said, come on. I said 50. Jeff Benson said 10. Derek said 25.
Only because we'll see Carolina is that fadeable. Basically, right
on the road, a short week of the worst team, right?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that way, but then you're sweating though a little bit.
At some point, you're gonna have to sweat. Yeah. You're still in. I hope you're still in. Thank God.
Yeah, I didn't use the Bears.
Do you have Dallas and Detroit still available?
Yep.
And that's the dilemma. That's the thing, right? Yeah, you can use the free square Dallas if you're confident in Detroit on Thanksgiving, there are 397 of the 1153 that still have both.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which I think a large portion will use Dallas this week.
It's a big advantage. So, you know, getting to that game though, guys, the only way I would ever bet that game would be on a teaser. And I know Michael Lombardi crushes you sometimes about teasers.
He said everyone wants to tease, and they call it a tease for a reason.
I know. Like, all right. Well, Michael, I tell you what, growing up here in Vegas and the teaser syndicate is the weapon they use against the books. And it works out. I mean, think about it. Like, if you tease Carolina at all, you were happy about that game, certainly. Well, at least whatever you paired it with or however you want to go forward with it. But, you know, that game with the quarterback, you're on to something, Michael. I mean, or Mike, it's like Bryce Young is a college quarterback still. Yeah. He's not a professional quarterback yet. And I know Herb Street was doing his best to defend him and say, well, they need stuff around him and all that. And well, yeah, that's true for a lot of bad teams, right? And, you know, Aikman got Michael Irvin, or Irvin was there before Aikman, and then certainly Emmitt Smith. I mean, eventually you're going to build some stuff. But what can you build with Bryce Young when he is at his peak in terms of size and strength, right? And it's only going to go downhill. You're only going to get hurt from here. And that's for any player. He's got a big uphill. And I don't know how they're going to fix it. And on top of the fact that they got Frank Reich, who I don't know if he's the right guy for that job either, to build a roster and to have faith or have the confidence of the players. Because obviously some of the coaching decisions he made towards the end of the game were like, wait a minute, I thought you were an analytics guy. But yet you throw that out the window and you try a 59-yard field goal.
What was the timeout that he took there on that third?
Like, that too.
I was going crazy watching the game at home, and like the broadcast never even really brought it up. I was like, are you guys not paying attention to what's
going on?
Well,
I was half asleep on that up there anyway. So.
I was telling my fiance, I said, Al's not on the back nine. He's in the clubhouse.
He's in the clubhouse
right now, ready to go home. But I mean, like the fact that it never got brought up on the broadcast, and then like it ended up being a big factor when Chicago gets the football to where the clock keeps running down. It's like, yeah, if only they had a third timeout to stop the clock.
Sure.
I could not believe that they took that timeout.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love the fact that Chicago threw the ball to get the first down, too.
They did, yeah.
And most teams would just try to eat clock and burn off time and then punt it away or whatever. But no, let's go win the football game. And so I love that. And you have no choice if you're Chicago.
I don't love it because I'd rather punt the ball back to them at 35. So what are they going to do with 35 seconds left? I don't want to give them a minute and 20.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the percentage play because you might still be able to rush for the first down. There's so many game management decisions there. I mean, Bowles, so obvious. It helped him that they did that review. Okay, I'll take the 10-second runoff. It would have been perfect.
Right.
And you want to save a timeout if something goes wrong, if he gets sacked. What? He took the timeout. You get to 49, and then you score on the next play, and you let Stroud become a legend.
I'm glad you said something about, you know, punting it away, right? Mm-hmm. And what was the phrase you just used in terms of clock management or so like the analytics part of it, mm-hmm. right? Because here I am as a player,
yeah.
we would rather go for it. And so a lot of times on the sideline, we want to urge the coaches to say, look, let's win the game. Let's win the game. So from a betting standpoint, it really is a divergence of thought processes right there. And so when we're betting and then we watch teams and we see them try to make a decision out there, and it's like, okay, why did they make that decision? That's why. A lot of times it does become an emotional decision out there.
I go back to, you know, they talk about Cristobal and he didn't take the knee. Right. I go back to Oregon when Herbert, and they beat Wisconsin in that Rose Bowl, mm-hmm. and he had 3rd-and-3. If they run the ball, they could have punted with 15 seconds left and punted from the plus 40. What were the odds Wisconsin could do anything with 2 plays left?
Right.
They threw the pass. They won. They go, whoa, what a great. But what? You were had the what game won anyhow. And you might have run 3rd-and-3 and gotten it. I just think it's too risky. The 45 seconds is more important to run that off the clock.
I guess my whole point is that a lot of decisions on the sideline are more emotional than thought out.
But are the players influencing those decisions?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Can a quarterback tell sending mm-hmm. a punt unit and tell the coach, no, we got
sure.
this.
Manning
go.
Can.
And
depends
they say,
on the,
okay.
Depends on the quarterback. Say, depends on the quarterback, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A quarterback like Peyton Manning or even Patrick Mahomes. I mean, a lot of times they could overrule. But then if you're Andy Reid, you're not going to overrule a lot of times that way. But, you know, from a betting standpoint, that's information that you need to have, that a lot of those decisions on the sideline are certainly emotional and impactful from a lot of players as well as coaches.
If the Colts were, if the Panthers would have won that game, was Eberflus getting fired this weekend?
I don't think so. It doesn't sound like they want to get rid of him right now. I was wondering if Frank Reich might get fired.
Well, he's in his first year, though. How are you going to fire him in the first year, Femi? It's
been an absolute disaster. But you're supposed to be the QB guru, and look at the offense.
I don't know. I think it's too soon.
All right. Well, we'll talk more Panthers and get some other NFL news and notes on the other side. We're just getting warmed up here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view the betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on a Football Friday. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard hanging out with you guys here at the Circa Resort and Casino. Joining us in 15 minutes, Chad Brown, former NFL player, now turned analyst for Westwood One. He will join us as we get his midseason thoughts on the National Football League. We've now gone into week number 10, but let's talk a little bit more. I want to ask you guys, because you mentioned that Bryce Young, both of you guys sound really concerned going forward, but on the broadcast last night, they put up the predictable stat of, hey, here's how other former number one overall picks have done in their first 8-9 games, and all of them did pretty much horribly. Like mm-hmm. whether it was Stafford, whether it was Trevor Lawrence, like all these guys who've been number one, like Kyler Murray, et cetera, they've all performed poorly. Is there something that you're seeing? Like, is it just like the physical stature is why you don't really believe in the potential upside of Bryce Young? Because I go back to the draft process and everybody said, this is the guy who's the most ready to play. Like, he's coming from a Bill O'Brien offense and he came to Alabama. He was well coached. He processes really well. He's a magician in the pocket. And now at the midway point, everyone wants to sell all their stock and buy CJ Stroud and Will Levis and all those guys. So like, can this be developed, or is it sort of he's hit his head on the ceiling, if you will?
Well, one, the offense is too difficult for him, I think, to be honest with you, Femi. It's too cerebral, right? You're thinking way too much out there as a quarterback. I don't like that. I don't think he's free. He doesn't have that freedom to play the game or have the game come to him. It's like he's being programmed. And then, okay, let's get to the physical stature. Give me a quarterback in the history of this game, other than Fran Tarkenton, maybe, that has had a high level of success with these dimensions at quarterback. I mean, Doug Flutie was an incredible athlete, right? A great player in college. And then, you know, you get to the league and things kind of different. He had one good year, I think. I want to say he had one outstanding year. Drew Brees, if you want to use that equation, which I don't think you can because Drew is a bigger guy.
Yeah, a little bit more sturdy.
Right, but that offense was totally made for him, though, and structured for him. you know, I just go through the history of this game, and at no time that I can recall a player of this stature having a high level of success. And okay, what can you create for Bryce Young to help him have a high level of success?
I mean, is it the RPO offense that he was running a lot at Alabama and those types of things? Because they don't really do a whole lot of that with the Panthers and stuff. So it's like, I don't know, maybe they can do some things schematically. I mean, obviously the personnel isn't really there. Mm-hmm. Adam Thielen's your best pass catcher, which you don't really want that to be the case in 2023. But yeah, it's not off to a good start. I don't want to sell my Bryce Young stock. Okay. I'm still holding right now, diamond hands, but it's... We're not off to a good start. This is one way I'll put it. But I still think there's a lot of football left to be played. If this continues in the second half of the season, maybe it gets a little bit bad.
What's your stock?
Well, I bet him to win Rookie of the Year.
Well, come on. Sell it. You couldn't get anything for it. I mean,
which is why it's not time to sell.
What's the stock?
Hey, Femi, dump it. Dump it.
We don't dump for zero. Okay. We don't dump for zero.
How tall is Tua?
Tua, it's a good, maybe six feet.
I was going to say six feet. Yeah. Maybe. That'd be my guess. Probably five.
Russell Wilson, we can go there too. And I saw Russell play in college. And Russell, he was a guy who had freedom in the offense. He would improvise. We know that, right? And he made a lot of things happen with his legs. But, you know, the ball was taken away from Russell a lot of times too. And that was successful for Pete Carroll and Seattle, and that's why Russell got mad and wanted to get out of there, and Russell Cook and all that stuff. But I hope Bryce survives long enough to see what he can do in the National Football League.
Why is Stroud having so much more success?
Well, this offense, the West Coast style offense, is easier for a quarterback. You have so much freedom within this offense. It's like Brock Purdy, right? There's so many teams running a variation or running the West Coast style offense. And it's such an easy offense because you don't have to worry about so many things. I'll never forget this. John Elway was MVP. He was, 12 years in the league at the time. And when Mike Shanahan came back to Denver, he was like, man, playing football is easy now. I never thought offense could be this easy. And that's the thing about this West Coast offense. And so I think CJ Stroud understands, he doesn't have a lot around him either, right? Nobody's saying that about C.J. Stroud and his contingent of players around him, but he is understanding where to go with the football. Your footwork in a pocket helps you. You understand what you need to do based on the number of steps you take in a pocket, based on why they're calling a certain play that they're calling. But you can run a set of core plays against any defense and not even have to think twice about it.
I want to get your thoughts, Pritch. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have a situation like what happened with Minnesota where you played with a quarterback who had no idea what the playbook was? Did you ever have anything remotely close to that in your career? Well, I mean, this is really amazing what happened with Dobbs this weekend.
I mean, on purpose, somebody didn't have knowledge of the playbook, right? Oh. Like Brett Favre, right? I mean, he didn't have knowledge of a lot of things, defenses and all that. But, I mean, he was just raw. He was just a raw player and a great player. But didn't apply himself at that time. But, no, what Dobbs did is you can't even comprehend it. I can't. No player can. To have instructions in your headset until they cut it off, and then to be able to process all of that too in a game and still make plays with your legs, not even knowing the cadence, not even knowing what the offensive line is used to, it is remarkable that he was able to pull that off.
Yeah, I mean, a lot has been made about how smart he is, like when he was drafted and all that stuff. But like, it really came to fruition last week,
right?
Like, I mean, the guy's probably the smartest guy in the league, you know,
a
rocket scientist. Like, you know, like you can work at NASA if you wanted to, and like you see him be able to process all that sort of information. It really is quite the accomplishment.
But an indictment against Atlanta, though, for
also that,
absolutely,
also that, not a good scene for the Atlanta Falcons. But this week, the Atlanta Falcons will be facing the Arizona Cardinals, who get their quarterback back in one Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray has returned. Jonathan Gannon told the media earlier this week, yes, he is the starter. You guys excited to see Kyler back now 11 months removed from the torn ACL that he suffered last December against New England Patriots?
I'm glad to see him back because I don't know if you could even book these Cardinal games anymore. If they, that game went from 7.5 to 13 and they never had no shot. Yeah. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, to have somebody.
Did you guys get a lot of action on plus 13 people taking the Cardinals?
That's where we had to stop. Okay. We got a few bets and then that's where we stopped. But I mean, ludicrous. 7.5 to 13
We've gone too far. Have we gone too far? Yeah. Maybe it should be 20.
Yeah. I mean, as we continue the short quarterback segment. Yeah. I mean, Kyler, does he present himself as any type of leader? And then on top of that,
First of all, this guy's all over. Man. He's all in on Kyler Murray this weekend. He's on the money line.
Woo! This weekend on the money line. Plus 115.
Okay.
Call of Duty's came out today. Yeah. This guy's not even going to be near the stadium. I mean,
he got a new chair. He's ready to go. He's got the
X chair.
Former VSIN sponsor, the X chair.
Shout out to them. That's a freebie for you.
What was the shirt he wore or something like that once he got that big contract? And remember the shirt he wore? Getting paid. I can't remember. Yeah,
he should have went play baseball. Like, he would have been better off playing baseball.
Sure says, I paused my game to be here.
maybe. I mean, one, because of the news and Dobbs and Gannon the credibility, you wonder if he has credibility in that locker room. You got Buda Baker and other star players that want to get out of there. It's a dysfunctional football team. It's a dysfunctional organization. I guess Kyler Murray is here to save the day now. I can't back that. I mean, again, I'd rather see it to believe it, before I kind of risk my bankroll out there in this football game.
But can it turn, though, with this new regime? Because it feels like the Jonathan Gannon and Monty Osifort regime is not kind of catering things to Kyler Murray. This isn't the Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim regime where, I mean, Cliff is like probably enabler number one when it comes to these types of things here. I mean, we saw him on the Johnny Manziel documentary. Like, you want to see what Cliff Kingsbury's background is and with these quarterbacks? I think now with Gannon, maybe it is a little bit more structured, and maybe Kyler Murray also senses the urgency of, hey, I have to prove myself to these guys because they don't know me just like how the last regime knew me. Like, I have to prove myself even though I have the big contract.
Well, how about physically? We've seen Deshaun play one good game since he's been back. Three this year.
Right.
One good game. I mean, how is he physically? Not all the other intangibles and stuff and leadership. I mean, you have to question that. And yet still, he's going to give him a much better shot to win than Clayton Tune. So, I mean,
Femi, in theory, what you say is true. But with this guy, I don't know why he would think he needs to prove anything to anybody.
At the money.
He's got money. He's got the Heisman. He's got a trophy. He's got a statue. He's never had to prove anything to anybody his entire life, athletic life, right? So why is that going to start now? I mean,
that's a fair point.
That's just from an athlete. It's like he would have to completely change who he is as a person in order to do what you're saying.
I still like Cardinals money. Best quarterback on the field Sunday will be Kyler. Chad Brown joins us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abbefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. That's about that time. The holiday is almost here. Less than 2 weeks from Thanksgiving. Go out there in Total Wine and see what you got cooking over there. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Benfei, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here hanging out on a football Friday. And joining us now to preview the second half of the season and give us some of his thoughts is former All-Pro, now a radio analyst over at Westwood One, the one and only Chad Brown joining us here on the Lombardi Line. Chad, we appreciate the time as always. And now that we're halfway through this season, I guess, what has kind of stood out to you the most from surprises, like whether it might be a good team or a team that you thought would be good that ended up being bad? What surprised you the most through the first half of this season?
I think for me, thanks for having me on, guys. I think the biggest surprise team right now is San Francisco. To start the season with 5 wins in a row, and then now to drop the last 4. Surprising part is I think we had some questions and some doubts about Brock Purdy going into this year. But the 49ers slide over the last couple of weeks has been on their defense, which we thought was going to be an unstoppable unit. So it just goes to show the NFL is always on a week-by-week basis, and you've always got to reevaluate things almost every single week and re-slot things because you can't just assume a team that was a preseason favorite, as the 49ers were, are going to just glide their way into a playoff run. They've got to earn it on the field, and right now that defense is not getting it done for them.
Chad, I want to ask you about a matchup in the AFC North this weekend. We saw in week three, Baltimore, who wasn't fully healthy then, went into Cleveland and really dominated them. And it was really the only game that the Cleveland defense showed some signs of vulnerability. But Cleveland offensively does not convert third downs, and they can't keep their offense on the field. Now you go to Baltimore, where the Ravens just destroyed the Lions and the Seahawks in consecutive home games. This line's still sitting at 6.5 under a touchdown. Is there any reason to think that Cleveland can keep this game close?
I don't think so. I think Cleveland's got a tremendous defense, as you talked about. But the offense and Deshaun Watson certainly leaves a lot to be desired. And Baltimore's now won 4 in a row. And they are maybe the hottest team right now in the NFL. I know the Eagles have only lost one game. But Baltimore, with the way they're playing, with the way Lamar Jackson's playing, not only is he an MVP candidate, but he has his offense operating at a very high level. OBJ is getting involved. There's a lot to be said for Baltimore. But as far as Cleveland's offense, I'm just not feeling it.
Chad, pleasure to talk with you again. I want to stay in the AFC North with one of your former teams that you have intimate knowledge with, of course, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers, because so many people are making or creating noise about Pittsburgh and the fact that they're 5-3 and they've been outgaining every game, right? And they're not really out of sync offensively, but defensively, the last few games, they're only allowing 17 points per game. Can you help us understand the job that Mike Tomlin is doing with this squad, and can they cover? Can they cover 3.5 or 3 points against Green Bay this weekend?
Well, Green Bay is a work in progress, and yeah. Jordan Love is a real work in progress. It's going to be probably 15 to 17 Jordan Love throws where you are going to love those throws. They look great. They're on time. They're accurate. But there's going to be 3 to 5 throws during the course of a game where you're just like, oh, my gosh, this kid's got a long way to go. You know, the Packers and the Broncos, I'm here in Denver, got together a couple of weeks ago. And Jordan Love had that Green Bay team in a position to win, but then he goes out and throws a game-sealing interception, a really ill-advised throw on a third and long situation where it's like, given some more experience, given some more time under center, hopefully he would be past that. I'm seeing that kind of situation show up almost every single game for Jordan Love versus the Steelers team. And to your point, Pritch, Mike Tomlin's got them going in the right direction defensively. T.J. Watt seems to make a game-saving or game-winning play almost every single week. Kenny Pickett and this offense, they are still a work in progress. The Steelers have given up 30 more points than they've scored over the course of the season. I believe they're the only winning team where the point differential is favoring their opponents. But they're finding ways to win. So I know Mike Tomlin is under a little bit of fire out there in Pittsburgh. Folks are looking for somebody to, you know, maybe take this team to the next level. But I think Mike Tomlin's done a tremendous job this year with the limitations of this football team, particularly this offense, going out and finding ways week in, I mean, not week in and week out, but most weeks finding ways to win.
That's funny. The local sentiment can be much different than the national sentiment, because nationally, Tomlin's being talked about as one of the coaches of the year. And then locally, everyone's there clamoring for him to maybe fire Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator. Here we're hanging out with Chad Brown, former NFL player, now an NFL analyst and college football analyst over at Westwood One. Well, here, Chad, I want to talk about the team that is in the area that where you live in, right, in the Denver Broncos, because before the bye week, we saw them beat Green Bay, like you mentioned. They also beat Kansas City, both those games at home. Do you think that the Broncos can kind of morph into a team that they thought that they would be this offseason, and maybe they can maybe make a playoff run sitting here currently at 3-5 in the second half of the season?
This is going to be a great test against the Bills on Monday night. Is this Broncos team for real, or were those last two wins a bit of fool's gold? I already talked about that Packers game and some of the mistakes that Jordan Love made. And then playing the Kansas City team, where Patrick Mahomes had the flu, and they caught Kansas City maybe at the perfect time. So is that the case, or is this Broncos team actually going to be a team that could, to your point, make a wild card run as the season goes along? Vance Joseph, Pritch is my former CU teammate, has gotten this defense turned around after they gave up that 70-burger to the Dolphins earlier this year. He's changed some personnel. He's changed some things schematically. And they're playing at a much higher level. Sean Payton and Russell Wilson seem to have kind of found a formula. The Broncos ran the ball for 40 times against the Kansas City Chiefs, and they limited Russell Wilson. I think he was 12 of 19 passing for 114 yards. Seven of those 12 completions were to running backs. So he's not pushing the ball down the field. Sean Payton's really trying to limit Russell Wilson, therefore limit the Russell Wilson mistakes that we saw far too often last year when Nathaniel Hackett was the head coach. So could this be a formula for a playoff run? I don't necessarily think so. And I think this Bills game coming up and a couple of these next games for the Broncos, the Vikings with Josh Dobbs looking like they've found things in the right direction. We've already talked about the Cleveland Browns, that very tough defense they have. And then DeMeco Ryans, C.J. Stroud, and the Texans are, you know, a couple of games down the road for the Broncos. This stretch of game is going to be really revealing. And I look for this Monday night game against the Bills to be a test for the Broncos. Can this formula they found over the last 2 weeks be replicated?
You know, Chad, get your thoughts, too, on some awards here, midseason awards, because I think you'll have some great insight on this. Defensive Player of the Year. It's interesting because, you know, T.J. Watt is making a case for it. Garrett, I mean, all these guys are out there. Who is your Defensive Player of the Year midseason so far?
You know, we talked about T.J. Watt earlier on this call, and he's made some amazing plays. But Myles Garrett, man, are you kidding me? as a guy who played that position, not to that level, but played that position, that edge position, Myles Garrett does things every week that blows my mind. He is literally that good and playing at that high of a level. We are being rewarded as football fans with some of the best edge guys in the last 20 years, almost competing every single week to see who can put together the most dynamic performance or the most game-winning play. So whether it's Bosa in San Francisco, I know his sack numbers are down a bit, whether it's T.J. Watt, whether it's Myles Garrett, there are some amazing guys playing on the defensive side of the ball, and Myles Garrett right now is my Defensive Player of the Year.
Chad, before we let you go, we got to ask you about the Buffs. You're in Pritchett's Colorado Buffaloes. They are a 10-point home underdogs this weekend against the Arizona Wildcats. Has kind of the shine has started to sort of wear off here of Coach Prime and the Colorado Buffaloes, at least in this first season. Do you think that they can keep things competitive on Saturday? And what's going on with the play calling?
Man, the Buffs are finding themselves in a bad spot. After a great start to the season, gathering, you know, the whole college football world's attention and ESPN College Game Day and Fox Big Noon Kickoff kind of following them around like they were groupies as they were moving around the country. It was amazing to watch. But to your point, the shine has come off. And now we've got this Sean Lewis, former head coach at Kent State, offensive coordinator with Colorado Buffaloes, but kind of being demoted for Pat Shurmur, longtime NFL coach. He was a guy who was the offensive coordinator for the Broncos a couple years back. Didn't move the Broncos offense forward at all, and then get the play calling responsibility last week for the Buffaloes, and doesn't help them either. Now, he called a little bit more run plays than Sean Lewis called, which kind of protected that offensive line a bit more, but the results were still the same. So Arizona's playing some really good football. They may be the hottest team in the Pac-12. I know Washington and Oregon are top 10 football teams, but the hottest team right now in the Pac-12 is Arizona. They're playing such great football, so I can't see the Buffs really find a way to compete and keeping it close on Saturday.
10-point spread right now over in Boulder. He is Chad Brown, former NFL. And you were selling yourself short about Myles Garrett. You were a couple two-time All-Pro as
That's
well.
That's right,
Chad. Don't sell yourself short, all right? So Chad Absolutely. Brown joins us as always. Check him out over at Westwood One. We appreciate it as always, Chad. Be well.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget on DraftKings Sportsbook, this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys from the Circa Resort and Casino. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard. Thank you to Chad Brown, former NFL player, former two-time All-Pro. He was trying to sell himself short there, talking about my game was never as good as Myles Garrett.
No, his game.
Obviously, Myles Garrett is a very, very special player, yeah. But Chad Brown could play.
Chad played inside linebacker and then moved outside to rush the quarterback. But he could play inside, outside. I mean, he could play all over the field. Great athlete. We recruited him. He was a tight end when he first got to see you. And then they moved him over to defense side of the ball, and he just solidified everything we were about on that side of the ball, and then continued with that all-pro career.
Where did you go to high school?
Pasadena Muir High School. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Really good athletes. And Chad was one of those guys. I asked him a long time ago, how did you get out of California? How did you not go to SC or UCLA right there? And he's like, I just fell in with Colorado. So it worked out because we were happy to have him. And like I said, he went on to an all-pro career.
Well, Matt could get those guys out of Southern California.
He could. He could. He could. I got a great story. I don't know if we have enough time.
Please share.
It's in regards to like one of the players. Like he recruited South Central.
He got sitting back.
So
he
story time with
Coach,
Uncle Prince.
Yeah, that's right. Coach Matt would recruit. He would go into South Central. I mean, Compton, South Central, everywhere, right? And get a lot of prominent players. And at that time, a lot of prominent players are also getting recruited by Nebraska. So Coach Mack went into one prominent player's home and told his mom, we're saving your son's life. If he goes to Nebraska, he can't come back home. He can't wear red in this neighborhood. He said that to the family, right? Oh, my God, we were dying when we heard this recruiting story. But Coach Mack was serious. And I think he convinced his mom to help convince his son to end up in Colorado. But Coach Mack had a point. Because if he went to Nebraska, he could come
neutral
home.
Colors. Colorado.
Neutral.
Neutral. Right,
exactly.
Colors.
Black gold and gold. Black. Yeah, that's neutral right. Colors. That's right.
But
that's
that gray dry fit.
Yeah, that's right.
Wearing that red.
I know. And we didn't have all the uniform changes, too, like Coach Prime has right now, too. So.
you could wear the all-black uni.
When he told me that story, I mean, we fell out. But he had a point. Coach Mack had a point. So Nebraska lost out on a guy who should be in the College Football Hall of Fame. I think he will be soon.
Awesome. You'll tell us who that is during the
break. I sure will.
He'll tell us when he goes into the hall.
Yeah, maybe that's when we'll get the story. That's a college football recruiting is unbelievable.
Oh,
I'm sure there's even
really
I'm sure there's some other stories as well that maybe we cannot share on the air. But what we can share on the air is that we can break down some of these NFL midseason awards because we've gotten to the midseason point. Right now over at DraftKings, the MVP favorite is Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens. Kind of a co-favorite situation, tri-favorite, if you will, between Lamar, Mahomes and Jalen Hurts. Mahomes obviously the reigning MVP here, but now that we're halfway into this season, there's some other names that people I think could be eyeing as we get into the second half of the season. But what do you guys make of this MVP race that to me at least through 9 weeks feels a little bit wide open, although Lamar tends to be the guy that people are leaning towards right now?
I'd be insulted if I was Lamar Jackson. Why for those two to be co-favorites? They're not even having close to their best years.
No.
And we talk about the weakness of Kansas City is their offense, or their quarterback's the MVP. They're killing people. Lamar should be even money. He should be plus 140. I mean, that's to me is embarrassing that he isn't. And because people want to think about his failures in the play. They have nothing to do with the way they're playing right now.
Right, right.
Chad Brown's completely right. They are the most dominant team in football right now.
Yeah.
And they're showing it weekend. They were the walking wound in the first month of the year. Right? They inexplicably do lose that game in Pittsburgh. Tomlin just somehow wins these games. Yeah. Right? But they've dominated everybody else. They're really, really good. I couldn't get over that Detroit game. Detroit looked like a high school football team against them. They did whatever they want. Holding, all right, there's a pass for 21. First and 20. Holding on second, that's second and 18. There's a pass for 24. Goff could never get comfortable. Mm-hmm. They couldn't run the ball. I mean, Baltimore is really good, and Jackson's playing at a great level. I mean, plus 350, I think, is a steal at this point. And you can, I don't know if you can find it higher in the market, Femi, but to me, unless he gets hurt or something dramatically happens to this team, these wide receiver injuries might plague Cincinnati here for a time. Higgins might be out for a while. I think Baltimore wins the North. I know their schedule is not a piece of cake. There's a lot of tough games. There's really only one game you can say is a check mark. But I think they probably can get the one seed. I think they win the North. They'll have a bye. I know the MVP, what is it, has come from the one or two seed in a conference. And
it's almost 10 years now.
So I think it's Lamar. That's my opinion.
So the 9 touchdown passes doesn't kind of hold you back a little bit?
Okay. No, it does not.
Okay, because he does so much.
Yeah.
More. Right, right. I mean, because he won MVP that way before. And I think if you look at quarterback play, it's down. I mean, Josh Allen has great stats, but he's really throwing the ball up for grabs a lot of times, and his turnover rate is incredible. Is this the year for some other position to win it, though? Like Christian McCaffrey, what was he, 14-1?
Yeah, he's in that range.
Yeah, so if San Francisco gets going again and Christian McCaffrey falls out, like, could he win MVP?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I like the point that you bring up, Chris, though, like the fact that this, if there were ever were a year that a non-quarterback could win it, this is what it would look like, with the QB stats being kind of subpar compared to the last handful of years or so. Because Lamar, I mean, you look at his QBR, he's 11th in QBR in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I think that's why he's still plus 350. If he had the gaudy passing numbers, he probably would be the even money price that you think he should be. But it's sort of, we're all looking around and waiting for one of these quarterbacks to have like a gaudy stat season, and nobody's really doing it.
They're putting up 35 plus points a game here since they got healthy. And what's around him? I mean, what do you say? Well, they great running backs? No. Great receivers?
They got 4 first round receivers on that roster.
Do you look at any of them and say that that's the key to their offense?
No, not at all. Even Andrews. It's all Lamar. You're right. Lamar has embraced this new style of offense. It's a precision offense. And then he's still doing what he does with his legs, which helps them sustain the ball, sustain drives, and score points.
What about Tyreek Hill?
See, that's another one.
At 40-1 right now over at
40-1. I know. That's crazy to think about. But
he might have 2,000 receiving yards, maybe 15 to 17 touchdowns, 100-plus catches.
But then Offensive Player of the Year, is that's his award for that, right?
Yeah.
And that's why.
I like Stormy's point. And say Cooper Kupp won the Triple Crown.
Didn't have 2,000, though.
Lombardi thinks that he should be live for MVP because he changes the game. He changes the way you have to defend
the
field. But I can't get there.
Okay.
And I'm not a Lamar fan. I've never been a Lamar fan. But I look at and watch this team with my eyes, and I think he's playing at the highest level of anyone. And what he is by far the most valuable to his team.
Yeah.
The way that I kind of like break down this market, I sort of think about it, is that Jalen Hurts right now is at plus 350. I think the Eagles' schedule the next 5 weeks is a gauntlet. They're probably going to pick up a couple losses. Okay. Patrick Mahomes, their offense isn't what it's been in the past. I think honestly this boils down to whoever wins the AFC North wins MVP. Like if Joe Burrow and the Bengals won the AFC North and overtook, we see those guys next Thursday, Bengals at Ravens. That's going to be a hell of a game. Whoever wins that division, I think is going to win this.
I don't hate him at 7-1. Obviously the odds are better, and you excuse the first part of the year because of the injury, and now here they come again.
Yeah.
And they do this every year.
Well, big test coming up. Big test coming up because you got T. Higgins with the hamstring situation now, and then Jamar Chase banged up too. So I mean, if Burrow pulls off some things without those two guys, then absolutely he makes a case for MVP.
I heard this case, and I don't know if I necessarily agree with it or believe it can even happen. A lot of people seem to like, and a lot of people in the analytics community seem to like Josh Allen as an MVP guy, and
with
he's sitting
the turnovers,
there at 20-1. That's I hear you. That's, they're sitting at 5-4. They would pretty much have to like run the table for him to win the award. But we've never seen we've never seen his price be this big at 20-1 before. Right. And we've heard a lot of people in their midseason columns say, despite the losses and despite Buffalo not having the good vibes, Josh Allen's still the midseason MVP.
Well, he's going to put up numbers because they throw the dang ball so much, though.
They haven't been able to run the whole time he's been there. Right. He's their only runner is him.
Which when you talk
and
about...
And they've never solved this problem. Mm-hmm. When you get to the playoffs, they can't convert 3rd and 2 and 3. Yeah. They can't hand the ball off.
Right.
Philadelphia's going to run it twice and get it. That's a huge advantage. It really is.
Brotherly shove, first down. Let's do it.
Let's divert this for 30 seconds.
Okay.
Where do you put the blame for the Cowboys' loss? I was thinking of you watching that game, how frustrating that game had
to be. Where do I put the blame?
Yeah, where do you assess it? And moving forward, what are the lessons from that game?
The offensive line obviously did not hold up well, but they were kind of held out on an island. Steele, he had a rough day at the office at right tackle. I thought Dak played well. I don't want to blame him. I mean, I guess you could put it on McCarthy. But defensively, that third quarter was rough, though.
One quarter. One quarter. I thought that, yeah, they had one quarter. Yeah. But they can't, when they're behind, the red zone is so bad. Yeah. They're only a front running team, which is why I don't care. I'd lay 17 with them because this is the games that they do this. But when they get in this crunch time, they're bad in the red zone.
Leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
It leaves a lot to be desired. That game was gettable. And they
didn't
get it.
It was very frustrating.
They didn't get it. It was incredibly frustrating. Huh. I watched it at Bar Canada, the final. A lot of folks invested in that game, as I learned. Hour number two is coming up next here on the Lombardi Line.